I bid grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter, is the basis for a meditation on this celebration of the Ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. From that gospel text we heard read, "And lifting up his hands, he blessed them, and while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven." Here ends the text. To the redeemed in Christ Jesus, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. It's interesting to note that St. Luke is the only writer of the Gospels who actually records the actual ascension of Christ Jesus for us. This wonderful event took place in Bethany, just a few miles outside of Jerusalem, not far from where all the events had taken place. But the question for us today is, but what does the ascension of Christ mean for us who believe in him? Well, if nothing more, it is a necessary part of the entire plan of God and for God's plan of salvation, as Jesus had taught to his disciples. First, Jesus explained that all things in Scripture needed to be fulfilled in him. The law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms all spoke concerning this Jesus. When we hear and when we learn those Old Testament writings, we are hearing and learning about Christ himself. He is their meaning and he is indeed their content. Specifically, those scriptures point to his incarnation, his life, his obedience, his suffering, death, resurrection, and now, as we celebrate, his ascension. It is through these events of Christ's life that paid the price for our sins. By these works, Christ has satisfied the wrath of God, his Father, and made full atonement for the world's guilt. Yet in all those things, he did not yet deliver salvation specifically to you and to me. Although all the world's sin was now redeemed, yet the entire world has not received the benefits of his cross. And so it is to that end that Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father. And in doing so, he commissions his disciples, those whom he taught and those who followed him, to deliver his gifts of remission of sins and salvation to all mankind through their words, both spoken and written. Therefore, the disciples of Christ were sent to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. And that is exactly what we need. We sinners need to be driven to repentance for those sins. Now, is that what we want to hear? Of course not. But it's what we need to hear. We need the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sins through God's law. We need to have faith created through the gospel's sweet promises of eternal life and salvation. But God's word does not merely make promises to us, but rather it actually delivers on everything that it promises to do for us. And so in preaching, we also receive then the remission of our sins as long as that preaching is of God's word. You know, my friends, the preaching of the law and gospel is a very powerful, effective medium for communication, especially to those who believe. Salvation continues to pour from this pulpit in a strong, steady stream as it has for years in the past. and by God's grace for years to come. Our sinful human nature wants to regard the sermon as nothing more, though, than a boring, useless, time-consuming exercise. Perhaps it is something that we must sit through, as is our duty, as if it were to our credit that we sit and listen carefully. But that was not our Lord's intention, nor is it today. He set up this pulpit and all pulpits to be a place for the hearing of the gifts of eternal life to all those who believe. His mighty word here is awesome in holiness and in its ability to convert sinners into believers in Christ Jesus. Oh, and by the way, had you not already realized it, you and I are among those sinners who need this life-giving preaching of God's word. We, just like all the other sinners of the world, are the ones for whom he set out his word to be preached. Likewise, he sends his spirit to give authority from on high to crown these pulpits with majestic power for our benefit. Christ called the Spirit by the name, "The promise of the Father will be sent to you." And so the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father as well as the Son for this very reason, to make this preaching a wellspring of salvation upon this earth. And thus, the whole Trinity is then involved in our preaching. It is truly in the triune name that each pure sermon is preached. The glorious God thunders down his word from heaven to give you the forgiveness that you need. For this reason, then, Christ ascended into heaven so that he could fill each pulpit with his Spirit's power and the redemptive power of his holy blood. And here's the preached message for you. You are a sinner, doomed to death and the grave by the sinfulness that fills every part of you. And yet I declare to you that Christ took the guilt that you earned from you, took away the suffering and the death that you justly deserve. He took the punishment for the sin that you deserved. You, my friends, are now forgiven. Your guilt is removed from before God forevermore. This is declared to you by the authority of Christ Jesus himself, who sits at the right hand of glory, and of his eternal Father, and of the Holy Spirit, the promise given to all the saints. And so therefore, we worship this triune God, who is indeed present with us now. We praise and we bless God, the Lord who saves us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.